powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, who's under the most pressure in the divisional round weekend? We want to know your answer. Jake and I are going to continue talking about ours, but 206-421-3776 to join that conversation. Who's under the most pressure? I'm going to take a call quickly, though. Corey in Puyallup. Corey, who's under the most pressure this weekend?
I personally think it's Tom Brady. I mean, he doesn't have much longer. I mean, this could be the last opportunity he gets, really.
So wait, I just want to make this clear. You think that Tom Brady, who has won 7 Super Bowls, is under the most pressure to win this weekend?
Just because you win rings doesn't mean you're not under pressure.
I mean, everyone's under pressure to win, but I don't think he has anything else to prove. So I'm not sure that that I agree with you that he's under the most pressure.
He can prove that he can throw the ball more than 30 yards.
Tom Brady can prove that he can throw the ball more than 30 yards. My guy, he has over 5,000 passing yards this year. He's leading the league in passing yards.
All those are checkdowns.
Does it matter? Corey, are you serious? You're saying that Tom Brady needs to prove. Tom Brady is under more pressure than Aaron Rodgers, than any of the young quarterbacks, under more pressure than Matthew Stafford and the Rams, because he needs to prove he can throw a ball 30 yards downfield?
I personally think Tom Brady isn't that good and he's a good system quarterback.
And oh, my God, Corey, this is the worst and best call I've ever heard. I love it. Okay.
You have to say all you want. I mean, he switched to a new team, but look at that team that he went to. I mean, 15 of the 32 quarterbacks could have won a Super Bowl with that team.
Right. Okay. So do you think that Tom Brady's been a system quarterback his entire career?
Horrible.
Got it. Okay.
Aaron Rodgers went to another team. He'd be good. Matthew Stafford would be fine. Mahomes would do fine. Mm. Brady can only go to a certain amount of teams, to be honest.
Do you think there's anything he does well? Like, hypothetically, if I, like, say, like, if Brady had, like, maybe the fastest release or something of all NFL quarterbacks, do you think that that would make him a better quarterback?
I just don't think his arm talent's the best. I think he's a check-down quarterback, a system quarterback who flourished under McDaniels and Belichick, really. That's a great system. A lot of quarterbacks could do a lot of good things in that system, to be honest.
Corey, you can't accidentally win 7 Super Bowls. He's a 5-time MVP. That doesn't happen on accident because you're like, I don't know, Johnny Checkdown or whatever it is.
He accidentally won them. I never said that. I never said he accidentally won anything. He won them. He also had some scandals in there, too, if you want to really look at those.
Corey, I appreciate and respect the take. I have no choice but to do so. However, I cannot disagree with you more on Tom Brady facing the most pressure this weekend. I think he faces among the least amount of pressure of anyone, and I don't think he has anything more to prove in the league.
We'll see.
Okay, Corey, thank you for the call.
I love it.
I love
Corey. Thanks for the call, Corey.
We'll see.
Thanks for the call, Corey. We'll see what happens. That's all we need to we'll just leave it at that. I mean, look, Corey had me at the beginning when he first said, look, you just don't know how long Tom Brady's going to play. So in theory, could there be a lot of pressure on Tom Brady to say, look, this could be my final season? Yeah, like Tom Brady, you know, eliminate all of the history and what he's done and the greatest of all time. Tom Brady wants to end his career. Make no mistake. He wants to be able to retire right off to the sunset after a Super Bowl win and say, you know what? Instead of going to Disneyland, I'm retiring and I'm going to kick it at my beach house somewhere, who knows where across the world with the amount of money him and Giselle have. Okay. But overall, in terms of the grand scheme of things, that is self-pressure that he's putting on himself. It's not actual pressure from everyone else around there in the playoffs. I mean, there are certainly other quarterbacks that have significantly more pressure on them than anyone else. And then Corey goes off and talks about how Tom Brady's not even actually a good quarterback. He's a system quarterback, you know, all these different things.
I can't believe Corey put me in a position to defend Tom Brady. Like, I feel much more comfortable
hating on him.
Well, he gave me no choice when he said Tom Brady needs to prove he can throw the ball more than 30 yards. First, Tom Brady is leading the league in passing. Like, he should get MVP, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand how him not chucking the ball down the field, Like, Matthew Stafford can chuck the ball down the field. I'd take Tom Brady over Stafford 10 out of 10 times. Joe from the 360, what? I was going to call in, but then I heard Stacey yelling at callers. Joe, I promise I will yell at no one else. The only reason I would ever yell at you, you guys, I promise, is if you called in to say Tom Brady is a bad quarterback. And honestly, well, if you call in to say that, you deserved it. Sorry, well, I know Corey didn't say he was bad.
Well, but the thing is, he insinuated that.
Corey said that Tom Brady was a system quarterback who was under the most pressure because he can't throw the ball
and
down
lucked
the field.
His way into 7 Super Bowls and 5
That's
MVPs.
What I love. He fell back. Well, he Cliff Kingsbury'd into 7 Super Bowls.
Well, the thing is that when you're talking about Tom Brady, you don't go check down, you know, Johnny check down for over 5,000 yards and 43 touchdowns. Like, come on, dude. Like, let's get real here. I mean, it's the same thing. It's just, dude, come on. But here's the thing. When I look at, you know, another name that he mentioned Aaron Rodgers, right? Aaron Rodgers could play in any system. He could play, you know, da-da-da, and he can do that. Well, guess what? He hasn't won nearly as many Super Bowls as Tom Brady, and to my count, he's only won how many, Stacey?
Who? You're talking
Aaron
about
Rodgers.
One.
How many Super Bowls? He's won one Super Bowl. One Super
emphasis.
Bowl. So then to put him in the same category as Tom Brady, like, you just can't do it. You cannot do it. And even though Aaron Rodgers is incredibly talented, Aaron Rodgers has to be able to show that he can win. This game is about winning. Want to know why Russell Wilson's obsessed with winning to the point that he, you know, named his third born child win? It's because that is what you're remembered by. It is, you can look at all the stats you want. You can talk about all of that stuff. And you can talk about how Aaron Rodgers is about to go to potentially three straight NFC championship games. But no one gives a rip about that unless he's able to win a Super Bowl, right? So that to me is why Aaron Rodgers has so much pressure on him to win, because he goes and wins another Super Bowl, he puts himself in a different category, in another category, in terms of, you know, his legacy, in terms of NFL greats. And that's why I think the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers have an incredible amount of pressure on themselves.
All right, 206-421-3776. If you guys want to call in and join our conversation about who's under the most pressure, I promise I will not yell at you. I promise. You know what? Look, I don't like that side of myself. I couldn't control it. It came out. I unleashed it. Am I proud of it?
I kind of liked seeing it. I think Jake kind of liked seeing it.
No, I loved it. Listeners, Stacey, I wish you would do it more
often.
The
text reaction to it, they loved it too, Stacey.
This is a take and a half from the 360. Brady's living proof that arm talent is the least important attribute to success as a quarterback in the NFL. Do I disagree? Yes. Do I think it's a take that leads to a fun discussion? Yes.
Yeah,
then you
well,
start talking
look,
about accuracy, touch. If you can be just like, not a check down, but like excel with intermediate passes. Because that's kind of like, obviously Goff does that. But, God, I'm trying to think of another quarterback who would absolutely
excel. I mean, to a degree.
Like
let's not overhype Goff's ability to throw intermediate, okay? Tom Brady does it at a very high level. And he wins, right? He wins. And he has been able to find ways to win. He's been able to get his teams and pull them together. You know, his leadership to me has been fantastic throughout his entire career. And so to me, that's why there's so many reasons why Tom Brady's the greatest of all time. But it is, you know, to that call or to that texter, you don't need to be the biggest freak from an athletic perspective to be the greatest quarterback in the NFL. You have to have all the right things, you know, going for you, accuracy, decision-making, and knowing your strengths and weaknesses and being able to lean into those strengths and make the most of them and try to eliminate your weaknesses as much as possible.
All right, let's go to Nelson in Kent. Nelson, who's under the most pressure this weekend?
Yo, so I would probably say Stafford. Ooh. And I'm a big Stafford guy. I don't think the pressure is necessarily his fault. I mean, everyone likes to point out his failures in Detroit, but that's a loser organization. That they didn't really have much around them aside from Calvin Johnson. But yeah, you know, the Rams traded a lot to get him, and there's this thing that he can't win big games, which I think is there. For Ross, I don't really sense pressure. It's like Jake, you were saying, is in the NFC Championship game. That's
Oh no.
Hey Nelson, call us back. Call us back.
This is such a good point, but you're breaking up. Jake, do you want to sound off while we see if we can get Nelson back? It was a really good
point. Yeah. If he can call back, because I'm interested to see where he was going to go.
Well,
because
I think
with
it's the
that
Rams now. I've changed my mind. I've done a 180.
You've changed your mind that the Rams have the most pressure?
Very unlike me, but.
Completely unlike you.
That's
why I think the Green Bay Packers, in terms of what they've done, they need the payoff. They need to get to that next step. Where the Rams, they have absolutely maxed out their credit cards. They have mortgaged their future. They need their approach to pay off in the worst way.
All right, we've got Nelson back here. Let's see if we can get a better connection this time. Nelson, why don't you backtrack like a minute? And then tell us some of your thoughts on this. Who's under the most pressure?
I'm out in Issaquah right now, so I must have hit a spot in these trees. But so I was saying that I think Stafford has the most pressure, which I think is a little bit unfair because, you know, I mean, in Detroit, that's a bad organization. He was where you're drafted matters, and people don't want to look at that. Like if Russell Wilson was drafted to the Jaguars or some loser organization, you think he would be where he is? No. So it's a little bit unfair, but Stafford's, you know, he's got to play well. And not having Whitworth is really going to hurt them. But there's not pressure on Rodgers because you're going to have a buttload of teams lined up who want to get him. And if he loses, you know, he's going to blame everything else around him. Even though in the NFC championship games, he hasn't necessarily played all that well.
Right.
So yeah, I would go Stafford, and I'm a big Stafford guy. I'm probably one of the only few in Seattle who think he's like a top 7 or 8 quarterback. I would say there's a little bit of pressure on Tannehill because they got a really good defense. Really good defense. They have weapons at receiver with A.J. Brown. Henry's back. They got to win this game. One other quick thing on Rodgers that I want to say.
Yeah.
You know what's worse than losing NFC championship games? Not even getting to them. So while he's only won one Super Bowl comparable to Russell, he's at least been to 4 others besides that. Russell hasn't, I mean, since Marshawn and the number 1 D left, he's won one playoff game against an Eagles team that had a backup quarterback. So, you know, you and I were tweeting. I think Russell's in that same category as Jimmy G, who's a good quarterback. He needs everything around him to be really good. Otherwise, he has trouble winning.
Holy smokes.
But then again,
Nelson, you cannot tell me you actually believe that.
I actually, what has he won since then? I'm just asking, what has he won since then?
Yeah, but Jimmy G's been to a Super Bowl since then, so does that make him a better quarterback if we're looking at just wins?
Jimmy G is 37-16 as a starter, and the 49ers win 25% of the games without him. They don't win without him, and that's a loaded roster. So, and that defense blew a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. So, technically, he should have a ring on his resume. And you know, I do believe Russell is better than Jimmy G. Don't get me wrong there. I just don't think Russell is in that top 7 or 8 category. I think he's probably in that next group. But one thing I would love the media to ask Russell, and I don't know, maybe I don't feel I feel like I haven't heard anybody ask this, but why doesn't he really run anymore? Because that's such a big factor into his game. Like, that's what makes him above and beyond. And I don't know if it's him choosing to not do it because he wants to play and not get hurt. I don't know if it's, he feels he doesn't have the speed that he used to. But if Russell doesn't have the running ability that he used to, I mean, man, that takes away a big part of his game.
All right. Thanks for the call, Nelson. I'm up against the clock, so we just have like a minute to respond. I disagree with some of it. I loved some of it. Callers are reacting to it. I do agree in that idea that, like, without his ability to run, Russell Wilson has needed to find a way to just completely excel otherwise. And I don't know that he's done so to the extent that you can look at him and say, oh, Aaron Rodgers, interchangeable.
I would agree. And also, though, how has this organization treated that? So you know, what I would say to Nelson is, has Russell Wilson had the same sum of parts that these other quarterbacks have had or that their organizations have committed to? And I've seen Nelson before tweet about, you know, pass win rates and those types of things, you know, being average or last year being, you know, in the top 10. And that's so heavily weighted towards the first half of the season versus compared to the second half of the season that I think that when you make that transition and you fully commit to providing a great offensive line and you go from that perspective, I think that you get the most out of that quarterback. You get the most out of Aaron Rodgers. You get the most out of Tom Brady. You get the most out of Drew Brees. And so far with this organization, it has not been the same exact, you know, way that they've gone about, you know, providing that same level of protection. I think that's a huge part of it. But to answer that question real quick, why does he not run more? Last year, he ran for over 500 yards. I believe it more so had to do with injury, had to do with, you know, overall scheme of this year versus his ability to do so. And I'm going to be just as curious as everyone else out there how that changes going into next year, because he certainly still has the ability to run the ball. That hasn't left him.
All right, let's get to four down territory.
This is four down territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with quarterback guru Jake Heaps.
Jake Heaps played in the NFL, played quarterback, was in the room with him, was in the fire. He's really a guru. He really played the game.
First down, Jake, which quarterbacks will have the most pressure on them this weekend?
Well, Stacey, we were talking about teams that have the most pressure on them. What about quarterbacks? Well, let me give you my list. Should I learn from your mistake, Stacey? Should I go 5-1 or should I start with 1? What do you think?
I think you should go the opposite. Don't repeat my mistake. Start with the least to the most.
Okay, the least to the most. I gave you a top 5, okay? Number 5, Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. If he doesn't win this weekend, it's not going to affect his legacy whatsoever. However, I do believe that there's pressure on him to win because of his age, because of the unknown of whether or not he's going to return after this season. His contract is up in Tampa. Does he sign a new deal? Is it where he wants to be? Is it where he wants to continue to play football? Or does he want to retire? So I believe that there is some pressure on Tom Brady, absolutely, to win and continue to keep adding to his mission in Tampa, which is to win as many Super Bowls as humanly possible. Number 4, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has won a Super Bowl. He's gotten to a Super Bowl. But also, I believe that this is kind of the last year that you're going to see this iteration of the Kansas City Chiefs, and you might see something completely different. That doesn't mean that they won't be as good, but I do think that there is pressure on Patrick Mahomes to continue to keep living up to the legend that he has created so far this early in his career. Number 3, Josh Allen. Josh Allen had an unbelievable performance. The Bills had a perfect game offensively against the New England Patriots. They are looking to overtake the Kansas City Chiefs. They are trying to show, and Josh Allen's trying to show, that he truly belongs and cements himself in that top 5 conversation with quarterback play and help elevate the Bills in everyone's mind to not just a fun team to watch, but a team that is an organization that's going to be in the Super Bowl conversation for years and years to come. Number 2. Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford has so much pressure on him in this game, and it's tough against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, but when the Rams trade all that capital for you, and you got your first playoff win under your belt, but it didn't come because of your great play. It came because of an overall balanced attack. You only had 17 attempts. I don't think they're going to win with Matthew Stafford only with having less than 20 attempts. So there's still a ton of pressure on Matthew Stafford to bring the Rams to the promised land and deliver on the expectations that follow that mega trade that we saw this offseason. And number 1, Stacey, very clearly, the number 1 team that had the most pressure in your ranking is the Green Bay Packers. Why? Because Aaron Rodgers, we all know the the tumultuous offseason that he had with the organization. I think there's a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers to win a Super Bowl, to cement his legacy, but also to get past the NFC Championship round over the last 2 years to progress and move forward. And if you lose this weekend, man, you wonder how Aaron Rodgers is going to react to that, what he's going to respond with, and if he still views Green Bay as his home of the future. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers to deliver on another phenomenal season.
Second down. We talked a bit about the truths of contenders, fundamental truths. So, Jake, what fundamental truths will be the greatest indicators of a winning team in the playoffs?
Well, from a macro perspective, you know, we talked about it with Mike Golic Jr. yesterday. Football is complicated until it becomes, until it doesn't, right? So from a macro perspective, you're looking at it from, okay, pass rush, offensive line. From a micro perspective, you're looking at the key fundamental truths of the game, which is third down success, which is turnover margins, which is time of possession. Those indicators to me are still, when you look at the game, you go back and say, okay, who was the team that turned the ball over the most? The team that is able to make the less, or the team that is able to avoid the most mistakes is the team that generally wins. A team that can stay on the field and maintain the time of possession by converting on third downs generally gives them the best chance to win. So those are some minor or micro indicators, some fundamental truths that people overlook all the time because of the storylines, because of the individual play. But you look back at that, and those are typically the indicators of whether a team is going to win or not.
Third down. All right, you've got Bengals at Titans, 49ers at Packers, Rams at Bucks, Bills at Chiefs. Jake, which game are you anticipating being the best of the bunch?
Oh, man. The one that I am so excited to watch, because I think it's going to be a tremendous football game, is going to be the Rams at Bucks. I think that that game is going to be really, really fun to watch. Right now, we don't know the status of Tristan Wirfs. Maybe, you know, him being in a boot has been way overblown and everybody's overhyping that. But if the Rams can get to Tom Brady and they can harass him and pressure him for a good chunk of the game, I think the Rams got a great chance to win this one, but I don't see the Rams, you know, blowing out the Bucks like they did the first time they met up. I see this as a very, very close game, a good back and forth. But I will be curious to see if the Buccaneers pass rush can get Matthew Stafford to panic and cause some turnovers here. So I think that game is going to be a really, really fun one to watch. Obviously, Bills and Chiefs could be a shootout, but I anticipate that game being the Rams and Bucks being the best game of the weekend.
Fourth down. All right, we're going for a new angle for fourth down. Fourth down's always wild. All eyes on the field with that one. And so I'm also going to take a book from James Osborne. Shout out Howdy, who always had really fun wild card questions. So here's your fourth down, Jake. Jake, you're an NFL coach in this scenario with a team of fantastic players good enough for a Super Bowl win, but to complete your team, you only get your pick of one of these three quarterbacks. Who do you choose between Nathan Peterman, Mike Glennon, or Blaine Gabbert?
Ooh.
If you lose this game, your job is on the line. Who's your starter?
Oh, my goodness. Why would you do this to me? Nathan Peterman?
Yeah.
Mike Glennon or Blaine Gabbert?
That's exactly right.
Glennon will have the advantage in neck length.
Yes, that's true.
Gabbert's been in the playoffs.
Yeah, to me, this
as
one really isn't even close. I know that John Gruden saw a lot in the great Nathan Peterman because he kept him around for a while there with the Raiders, but I'm going to go with Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert,
to me, has the most upside out of all those guys. And honestly, Tampa Bay is really excited about Blaine Gabbert post-Tom Brady. It's hard to believe that, but that's a lot of the conversation around Tampa Bay when it comes to their quarterback situation. So to me, I would definitely pick Blaine Gabbert. I think he has the best tools out of all of them. Obviously was a first round bust, but I think he is significantly better than the other two that you mentioned.
Divisional round face off between Curtis and Jake coming your way next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Divisional round, divisional round, divisional round, divisional round, divisional round, divisional round, divisional round.
First divide the dividend by the divisor. We can fit two groups of nine into 24.
Yeah.
Multiply the 9 by 2 to get 18 in the mix. Right. Write the 18 and subtract the difference.
It's still going. Okay.
Yeah, we took out like 5 more seconds.
Right. Right.
So repeat when we do a long division, we drop the B.
Yeah, we dropped the beat.
It was beautiful. It was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh.
It is divisional round.
You went very
round.
Literal with the division.
Oh, of course.
It is divisional round, divisional round, divisional round, part of our weekly face-off between Curtis and Jake in a trivia-style game show. It's getting you guys ready for the weekend's games and mostly helping Curtis and Jake just face off against each other and build clout.
People might start to see why I make my intros the way I do, because it kind of throws Jake off a little bit.
Yeah, Jake gets nervous. I can already tell Jake is
nervous.
It's
very true.
Now, Curtis,
he gets me laughing. I'm like, I need to, you know, have my game face ready to go and get super serious.
You guys, before we start this, some really, really quick news from around the NFL. Green Bay Packers have activated linebackers Darius Smith and Whitney Mercilus off the injured reserve. Meanwhile, Nick Bosa for the 49ers has been cleared from concussion protocol. So we can get back to that later, but just updating you guys on the latest breaking news from the NFL for those updates. All right, let's jump into this quiz. Who wants to go first?
Against my better judgment, I'll say me.
All right,
ooh, okay,
Jake.
Okay.
True or false, the 49ers as a franchise have a higher postseason win percentage than the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, man. Green Bay, I mean, they've had some... I'm going to say true.
Correct.
Yes!
Now, fun fact, even though the winning percentage is higher, 611 to 600, the Packers have actually appeared in more postseason games and have more postseason wins than San Francisco with 36 to 33. They just happen to have more postseason losses as well.
Okay, okay. All right.
One for Jake. Curtis. If the Packers win Saturday night, Matt LaFleur will become just the second head coach since the merger to lead his team to a conference championship game in his first 3 seasons as head coach.
Who was
the first coach to do so?
That'd be one Jimothy Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh is the answer.
I'm sorry, I just quickly.
He said, what'd you say, Jimmy? Jimothy?
Really quickly, do you think Jim... is short
he did
for
not
James,
get the legal name right,
right
Stacey. I think you give him the X.
Is Jimothy a name?
I've seen it before.
No.
Yes.
That can't
but
be right.
Jim Harbaugh is the correct
one. All right, one to one. Jake, of all the teams remaining in the postseason, of just the teams remaining in the postseason right now, who had the most receiving yards this year?
Sorry, can you say that one more time? Sorry, Maui Rob distracted me. He said, thought this time of the year the game would be called Tournament of Champions. But Jake's involved.
Hang on a minute here. Jake, you can't be looking at the text line.
Wow.
Neither you nor Curtis can be looking at the text line right now.
I'm not looking at the text line.
Wow.
I don't even know what the text line is.
Wow. Okay, Jake, of all the teams remaining in the postseason, who had the most receiving yards this year?
Out of all the teams? So not individual. Team.
Of who? A player on a team. Of the teams remaining in the postseason.
Oh, which player had
which
the most
player,
receiving
yards? Yeah,
oh,
which
Cooper
player?
Cup.
Okay, yes. Correct. All right, so 1-2 for Jake. Curtis, you have a chance to tie it up here. Of the teams remaining in the postseason, which player had the most rushing yards?
So now, are we talking the teams that are still alive?
Yes.
Okay.
Of the divisional round teams, which player from just the divisional round teams had the most rushing yards?
Oh, boy. Curtis trying to go through them right now. He's going through the list.
Jake thinks he knows it, but is he right? No stealing in this one.
Is the answer... I might go a little off the board. Is it Joe Mixon?
No, incorrect. Yes! Jake, you want to guess before I tell you the answer?
No, go ahead.
Okay. It is Elijah Mitchell with the 49ers,
wow,
who just barely has more than Derrick Henry, who's been gone since week 8.
That's
wild.
Insane.
But Elijah Mitchell right now, every other running back now out of it. All right, Jake, you have a chance to really pull ahead here.
It's two to one.
Okay? Here we go. Of the teams remaining in the postseason, which team has the most sacks?
Which team has the most sacks?
Yes.
okay, so there's Tampa, who has done a really good job pass rushing wise. The Bengals have been a sneaky team when it comes to that. The Rams are really good. What about? Okay, all right, I'll get to it, Stacey. I promise.
You just gotta say it. Gotta say
it. You want me to just say it right now off the top of my head? Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
I mean, that's kind
I'm gonna
of
go with the Rams. I'm gonna go with the Rams. Rams.
Correct. It is the Rams with 53-1. Jake can put it away if he gets one more right, correct?
Oh,
all right.
Let's go.
Curtis.
Or if I miss.
Okay, if you miss this, Jake wins. I know, I would be absolutely shocked. Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are the fourth pair of starting quarterbacks. Oh, this is from NFL Communications. Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are the fourth pair of starting quarterbacks to have multiple playoff meetings within their first five seasons. One of those pairs includes Russell Wilson. Who was the quarterback Russell Wilson saw most in the playoffs over his first five seasons?
That would be one Cameron Newton.
Correct. It is Cam Newton, and Curtis is still alive.
There we go.
All wow. right. There, there are 10 go. Questions
oh my gosh.
Total.
Putting all
so...
the pressure on me.
Yeah. Here we go.
Dang it.
Jake,
come on.
Jake, how many teams yes. in the postseason still have not won a Super Bowl, and who are they?
Who?
How many? Oh. oh, my gosh. How many teams?
So, of the remaining teams, how many have never won a Super Bowl? And who are
okay.
they, obviously?
So,
I got it.
Cincinnati, Tennessee, Buffalo. Three teams. Is that correct?
Is it correct, Curtis?
It is. yeah.
Yes!
Because everybody in the NFC's won.
All right. Let's see.
Jake clinched.
He clinched?
I clinched.
He got it?
Yes.
He won.
Yes.
Really? There's 10 questions.
Oh, there's 10?
There's
oh,
10
then
questions.
He has
Wait,
not
what?
Clinched yet.
10 questions.
Oh, what a twist.
Curtis.
There's 10 questions. Jake did not clinch.
Are you Curtis, counting your tiebreaker, Stacey?
Question number 8. When was the last Seahawks
it's
divisional round
garbage.
Win, and who did they beat?
The last divisional round win was against...
Oh, my gosh.
I believe it was against the Carolina Panthers. They beat Cam Newton, the guy who I just talked about.
Yes. Okay, Jake.
There we go.
Jake, you can you've got four.
Now
okay.
Jake can clinch here.
All right.
I was under the assumption that it was a classic 8-question quiz.
All right.
Yes, same
Jake,
here. Then
Jake?
Stacey goes and changes it all because she wants Curtis to win.
Jake.
This is why during our
no.
you know, pre-production
no.
show,
no.
you
no.
two
Not
told
true.
That you two muted your call and you
no.
guys were,
no, this
were
isn't
talking
true.
Amongst
this
yourselves.
Isn't true.
You guys
the
were conspiring against
Yeah, we were
me.
Figuring
incorrect.
Out the Nathan Peterman
Jake,
question.
You're trying to skew the perception in case you don't get this right, that it can look like you, the odds were against you. Jake,
I don't
this
know
is
what
multiple
you're talking
choice.
About. I'm just telling
Jake,
you what
you can,
happened.
You can seal.
Look, if you answer this, all conspiracy theories get thrown out
That's
the window.
That's right, Jake. You can seal the win with this answer. It is multiple choice for the win. Tom Brady has had how many rushing touchdowns in the postseason over his career?
Oh, my gosh.
Here's the choices.
Rushing touchdowns?
1, 3, 5, 7.
I hate you
this
so
is
much.
This is a complete guess.
No,
like, there's no way anybody
it.
Could know this.
Postseason rushing touchdowns? Screw it. Let's go. I'm going to go 7. He's got 7 rushing touchdowns.
Yes! Divisional round. Tom Brady, 7 postseason rushing touchdowns. You guys are so lucky we didn't get to the tiebreaker, which was going to be all division.
Oh, like long division?
Yeah,
like what's 32 divided by 8?
Yeah, it would be like what's 54 gosh. Divided by 9? And you'd have to answer like quickly. It would
Six.
Be rapid
That was
going to
be the tiebreaker?
Yeah.
Because it's the division.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I couldn't wait for
so
it. I was
glad.
So,
I was so glad.
Excited. All right, so congratulations, Jake. Ties up the postseason series. 2 more left
Man,
to play.
My heart is racing.
Get your questions in right now for What I Need to Know. Any question you have, 206-421-3776. Your questions, our answers, are next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. You guys send in your questions, any question you have, to the Mac and Jack's text line 206-421-3776. Before I get to those questions, let me remind you, Slipknot with Cypress Hill is coming to Climate Pledge Arena on June 13th. Tickets went on sale today at Ticketmaster.com, but we also have your chance to win a pair of tickets. So head to 710sports.com/win to learn how. That's 710sports.com/win.
You can hear them play Pulse of the Maggots.
My throat hurts from earlier today, us singing and yelling, yeah, trying to sound like Slipknot.
We played it in the sports.
It was like 8 in the morning, maybe 7:45.
Stacy, you know, if they did have a mosh pit, you know, I mean, I don't know if they have those anymore because of COVID. Stacy's going to be right in the middle of all of
it. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Stacy's favorite song she was telling me is Wait and Bleed. That's that's one of her personal favorites.
What I Need to Know, first question here. We talked about how many rushing touchdowns Tom Brady has in the postseason. 7, if you can believe it. What I Need to Know, how many rushing touchdowns did Jake have in high school and college?
Oh, high school, too.
High school.
I don't think we have the stats available.
33. Yeah, 33. Sure. I had 3 rushing touchdowns in college, and I had 30 in my high school career.
So you've had 3 rushing touchdowns.
In college, yes.
Wow.
In college.
That's impressive. What I Need to Know.
Is it, though? I mean, they were all quarterback
sneaks. Let me be a supportive friend.
Yeah, we went and looked at the yardage total of all Jake's 5 college touchdowns. They were all like 1 yard out. We also noticed in one of the games that he scored, Robert Turbin also had a touchdown for Utah State. His was 80 yards.
What I Need to Know.
Just a slight difference.
What I Need to Know. What's the best food to use in a food fight? Caveat, you're throwing it more than 10 feet. So it
throwing
can't, like,
it more
you,
than...
so what I'm saying is, if your answer is, mashed potatoes in a food fight, you have to make it 10 feet. I'm going to go, I got a good one.
I'd say like a dinner roll.
Oh, I was going to go with a turkey chicken leg because you can use it. You can really
you
get
can, like,
some
tomahawk
momentum.
It.
That's exactly right.
A chicken
right.
leg?
Yeah.
You can tomahawk.
You can really hurt people with a chicken leg, I think.
How about not hurting somebody? What about a good old classic marshmallow, like a jumbo marshmallow?
Soft.
That would be
soft, yes, but if you throw it hard enough, that could leave a welt.
It cannot.
Yeah, but,
10 feet? Absolutely not. We'll have to test this.
You can get some speed on marshmallows.
But that's any food that you're going to say. There's no food that's not going to leave a welt. I mean, if you throw an egg, it'll splatter, but the egg shell is going to hurt when it makes contact.
I need you to be honest about your arm strength. Do you think that at full arm strength, you could make hit Curtis hard enough with a marshmallow?
Why me? Why he's got to hit? Why does he have to hit me?
Because I make the rules. I'm in charge.
Oh, that's not very fair.
I could probably give him a welt.
Yeah.
Maybe with a marshmallow.
I believe it. Jake once was paid to throw things.
What I Need to Know, will Jerry replace Mike McCarthy next season? So you could answer either for do you think he'll be gone in 2022 or do you think this is his last season?
I believe that this is his last season and that Kellen Moore is going to take over as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. That would be my bet.
Guys, we're such idiots. Everyone's texting in fruit. We didn't think of oranges and apples. That's pretty dangerous, though. That's like you're getting in an actual food fight.
If I'm in a food fight, though, I would want a food that's going to create the biggest mess. So like spaghetti or something like that.
Yeah.
Because that's how you really, truly judge how a food fight is won and lost, is by the mess that is created. Like a slice of pizza or one of those like pizzas that come in the foil tins that all schools have, that could really make a mess.
Everyone's giving me crap about the marshmallow comment. Hello, it's probably the easiest thing to control in a food fight.
I actually disagree.
What are we talking about?
I really think the chicken legs are easy to control. I think you guys
Stacy,
are sleeping
who throws
on
chicken a
legs.
Chicken leg?
I would throw a chicken leg. What I Need to Know, does DK Metcalf deserve to make more money than Tyler Lockett? I'm going to reframe it as DK Metcalf's going to get either a huge contract in free agency or an extension. Does it feel fair if that's more than Tyler Lockett? Meaning the question really is DK a better receiver truly than Tyler Lockett?
I think it is based off of not only his size and speed and strength, but also what he's been able to produce as a young player. I mean, look, DK Metcalf's trajectory as a young player is better than what Tyler Lockett did to start out. So Tyler has grown and evolved and has blossomed into one of the league's best receivers, no question. But don't underestimate DK's ability to be truly one of the league's best receivers and to be able to do it at a high level from the get-go. So there is a big difference there. And also, also when you're talking about just the economy to begin with, for these receivers. So you're taking the upside of DK Metcalf and what he's been able to do so far in his young career. And so I don't think that's disrespectful to Tyler Lockett at all.
One of my favorite things about what the text line has turned into right now is people asking how many things Jake could throw hard enough to leave a well.
Oh, that would,
so it's like, okay.
That should be a video series we do.
Yeah,
here.
I know. Marshmallow, like a rolls, a cinnamon roll. Like where does it just, the item is too soft no matter how hard Jake throws it. Like where is the line? Yeah. What I need to know, what's more enjoyable, 75 degrees or 85 degrees?
Probably 75.
No, 75 for sure. I'm not even hesitating.
You're not sweating at 75.
But it also depends on where you are. Because if you're by a lake, then it doesn't really matter.
Chilly.
I want 85 because I want the hot and the cold. If I'm not around any of that, then I want 75. I want it to be nice enough, but I don't want to feel like it's burning where
Fair.
I feel like I have to, you know, I need to get into a pool or something
to cool
off.
7 out of 10 times, I would prefer 75. True.
Yeah, but
yeah.
You wouldn't want 75. That's too hot for you. You want like 60. 60 degrees is like the perfect temperature for Stacey.
Are you serious? I would freeze to death. Literally, I would look like.
Yeah, but you also complain when it gets above 70 and we're outside.
Oh yeah, I
exactly.
forgot that I do
yeah.
do that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, poor NASA. Back
you
in
are impossible to.
To yeah, I complained a lot out of training camp. I look forward to doing that again. All right, that'll do it for us this week. Congratulations, Jake, on the divisional round win.
Thank you.
Curtis,
starting the weekend off right.
Got some exciting games this weekend. Really excited to talk with you guys about them on Monday. Don't go anywhere, though. Wyman and Bob coming your way next on 710 ESPN Seattle.